I'd like for you to go to 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I'm going to read here in just a few moments, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going to look at, not chapter 1, but chapter 2, and verse number 9 here in just a few moments. I was married in July 14th, 1967, 46 years ago. We moved to a city called Pontiac, Michigan. And we lived in a little, I guess it was a two-bedroom apartment, maybe it was one, above a lady's. It was actually the upstairs had been converted. And we were there for about 6 months. And then we rented a duplex. Many of the students of school I was attending were lived in those duplexes, and there was a reason they were fairly inexpensive. How would you like to pay $85 a month for rent? And that was not cheap then, but it was better than about any place else around for what we got. They like to have the students there because, well, they give us some pretty dirty places, and we go in and clean them up, and then when we left, they had a nice place. And I remember a good friend of mine, Paul Carrier, when they moved into theirs, his wife, Janie, very particular kind of a lady, and we walked in, and we found dog manure on the stairs going upstairs so thick we used paint scrapers to take it off before we started scrubbing. But thankfully, ours wasn't quite that bad. Anyway, we moved in, and after a while, we decided we had a child now. We decided to get a dog. How many are dog owners? So we got our first dog. It was a German Shepherd, full purebred German Shepherd. And it had three basic qualities that they were trying to breed into these dogs. One was they were trying to get a black breed, which has never happened, but they were very close. This German Shepherd was almost pure black. The second characteristic they tried to get into them, and were very successful as they would crossbreed, was largeness. Mine was a female. She weighed 110 pounds when she was mature, which is probably heavier than most male German Shepherds, and she was large. The other thing was they tried to breed into them a gentleness, and to my understanding and what I saw, she was gentle, though one night we came home from church and found a ball bat in the backyard, and we kind of figured she took it away from somebody who was trying to maybe get into the place. And anyways, after when we graduated and was going to move, why, we sold her back to the lady that we bought her from to begin with. We moved to Seattle, and I don't know if it was a purebred, but we got another German Shepherd. And along the way there, we got this little dinky mop dog. How many know what a mop dog is? That's a dog you could put a stick on and mop the floor with. And so we got this little dog, and Brutus was his name. And so we had the big dog, and then we had this little one. I don't remember which order it was in. But through the years, and I counted them up today, we had, I'm on my number 12 and 13. Number 12's in the backyard. She's part German Shepherd and part Husky and part something weird. Finally, after about 11 years of age, when you pet her, she's not wiggling everywhere. And you can actually pet her head without all the wiggle. Also have in the house most of the time a Rottweiler. You're welcome to come in anytime you want. She'd be glad to meet you. She's intimidating. I don't know what it'd be like if you weren't invited, but she's really a good dog. I look back, we've had those 13 dogs for the years. I didn't count up how many cats we've had. We've had a few of those through the years. One point, we had 6 cats in the house. The female, and you've heard me tell the story, she got pregnant and had 5 little babies. I watched those little babies get born. And then we had the job of, after about 6 weeks of getting rid of those. Interesting story with one of those. We finally if I remember correctly, took it to the pound and left it at the pound. This was while we were still living in the apartment. When we moved to the duplex, a year later, this dog shows up. And this cat shows up. And she evidently had gotten adopted and was fairly close by and recognized the smell. So she'd live at our house for a couple of days and go back to the other house for a couple of days. And then when we moved, why, it was kind of neat because disappeared for a week or two, never saw it. And so if he ever came back to visit, why, we were gone. He didn't follow us to Seattle. And through the years, we had a number of different cats. One of the things the reason I mention this is they're all very similar. Tony, would you sit down, please? And we have all these different animals. Every one of them's different in their character. Every one of them's different in their appearance. Every one of them has had different things about them that's unique. And I look back, and two of those dogs, I actually took quite a bit of time to train them and worked with them to some degree. For me, it was a lot. For most people, probably not. And the others were just pets, and I felt good if they stopped long enough for me to pet them, didn't bark all the time, and those kinds of things. But all those animals had, though they were animals, they were unique. And I can look back, and you know, you have memories of different ones. One of the cats, when you'd walk by, we have a pole down in the basement, it's got carpet on it, and he'd jump up on that pole and bat at you. And he was always doing that to me. And I'd slap back at him, and it was our little game we played. I think that's the same cat that Brother Wells always called Sylvester. I don't remember. And he always liked the cats we had around the house. I don't know why, but he did. They're all different. I want you to look at the scripture here. Notice verse number 9, and notice what it says. And it's talking about God's people. And notice here it says, but ye are a what? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now notice the next one, a holy nation. It's this one I want to see. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. God has chosen us, and he calls us peculiar here. When you go to the book of Corinthians, you find it tells us that God has chosen the weak things and the base things. And they're not complementary things, but God has chosen us that he might make us into something that would be pleasing in his sight. Now I want you to notice here in this verse what he has done this for. It says that ye should what? Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now let's think about this for a moment. Everyone in this room is different. Everyone's different. You are different than your friend here. Right? You're different. Amen. You're different than him. Eh? You're different than her. All right? You're different than her. Every one of you is different. Okay? This is not a bad thing. God has made us that way. There's not two snowflakes alike. And God has made us unique. I'll do the preaching. We'll talk afterwards, if you don't mind. And we have this differences that we are, but yet God has made us all that way for a particular reason. And that's to bring praise to his name. I want you to think about this, Kurt. You can praise God in your way better than anybody else. Think about that for a minute. You have that. God made you a particular way. And the way you do it, it's unique. It's different. We use the word peculiar. But it is that which you can do. I can't mimic it. I can't copy it. If it is, it's phony. And it will not be that way. It's just the way it is. Mindy, God has made you a very unique individual that you might bring praise to God. Not like I would, not like Kurt would. But God has made you the way you are to bring praise to His name. I want you to think about that. God has made you for the very same reason. And He's made you different than anybody else, but it's for a purpose, and that is to bring praise to His name. Think about that. That's an awesome thought for a moment. Oftentimes, we get so lost in this massive world of ours and thinking we are insignificant, but that's simply not the case. God has made you, God has created you, and when you get saved, you've been recreated, and God has made you for a particular reason, that is to bring praise to His name. And the way you're going to do that is unique. You're a unique individual. As I look back at those different pets, whether they were cats or dogs, each one of them brought pleasure to me in different ways. Every one of them had their ways. I mentioned the one cat I just loved to walk by, and he'd reach out and grab at me. None of the others ever did that. And there was a window just when we went down a little flight of steps to get out the back door. He would sit in that window in the summer when it was open. And I'd walk by there and he'd slap at me. That was that cat. It was just the way he was. And I enjoyed that cat. We had another one. We lived in Seattle. Matter of fact, I think that cat traveled with us from Pontiac to Seattle to Council Bluffs. And Patches, I believe, was that cat's name. Am I remembering right? And Patches, by the way, had a spread in the Nonpareil from one side of the page to the other. I saw her laying on the steps one day, a photographer. He stopped and took her picture. Thing was about that wide and all the way across the front of the paper. And it was talking about the dog days. And they thought it was funny. Anyways, when we lived in Seattle, we were approached soon after we got there, and we were told that the neighbor had a dog, and he came over and he says, and all where we lived at, all the dogs ran loose. We were in a cul-de-sac area, and it was really kind of a neat spot because there was about two or three square blocks, and you had to come up one street to get to all of it, and we didn't have strange traffic coming past our house. I mean, if they were there, they were on purpose, or they were lost. And so most of them allowed their animals to run free. And so they had this dog. It was some kind of a shepherd-like dog. And they came over and they said to us after we moved in, they said, "You need to watch your cats because our dog is a cat killer." And so that got my attention until one day when I saw my cat laying in the driveway. She just had some kittens. How many know you never cross a mother that has newborn? Whether it be animal or whether it be human. And so here's this cat, and the dog comes up, and it's going to be the first meeting. And the dog comes up and gets probably about as close as me, the front row. And the next thing you knew is that cat had struck, had tore up the lips on that dog and was back laying down before that dog knew what had took place. And that cat killer dog went home with his tail between his legs and didn't come to our house anymore. That was one of the smallest cats we ever had. And I learned something that day. Stalketh about like a roaring lion. And that was the same cat I used to watch on the freeway fence, which was our backyard, as he would go across the top and leap down upon shrews and bring them to our front door and shred them, and there leave his nice trophy for us. And we had these different things and the pleasures that they brought. God has made each of you to bring pleasure to Him as we praise Him. And God has made you very different than anybody else. He's made you peculiar, if you please, that you might bring honor to Him. It's not going to be exactly the same way I do it or anybody else. And God has made you that way. a lot of things, and I'm talking to a number of teenagers here tonight as well. One of the problems that teenagers have is that they look at themselves and they just see all these flaws, and it's hard for them to accept themselves for who they are. And by the way, that's one reason there's so many physical bodily adjustments that are made today, from hair color to tattoos to piercings and all of these things, trying to somehow fit in because they feel oddball. And listen, God has made you special for a reason. Number one, He wants to save your soul. And when you're saved, God wants to use you to bring praise to His name. And it's not going to be the same way that I do. There are many hundreds and thousands of preachers across this country. None of them are me. None of them are going to act like me, nor should you expect me to act like them. God has made all of us different. Amen? And matter of fact, that makes for an exciting world. And we ought to appreciate some of those differences that are there. Now let's stop and think for a moment. God has made me to bring praise to His name, but there is something that causes that to not happen. We can label it sin. Sin in our lives will keep us from bringing praise to God. God has made us for the particular purpose of bringing praise to Him. That's what we're seeing here. He's made us a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has made you for the purpose of bringing praise to His name. But there is something that keeps us from doing that often. It's called sin. And sin will mess it up every time. But I want us to stop and think for a moment tonight, because oftentimes we think, yeah, a guy gets into drugs and it messes him all up, and so he's not bringing praise to God. Or he gets into this or he gets into the other thing and he's not bringing praise to God. But let me ask you something tonight. You might be here tonight and you say, well, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls who do. I got fence posts over in my yard that don't smoke and don't chew and don't go with the girls who do. But what do you do? What do you do? You see, oftentimes we as God's people, we look and we think that, you know, certain individuals, they've really messed up their life because they've gone down into the depths of sin. And it's messed up their life. But if we look at it from God's perspective, perhaps we can see it a little bit differently. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. And we find a verse here that really, I think, points it out. Have you ever written down the wrong verse? Somebody find it for me. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? Sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Now we think about and we talk about people going to the depths of sin, and therefore they're not bringing praise to God. But if we know to do and we don't do, are we bringing praise to God? If we know to do and we don't do, are we bringing praise to God? No blank looks here, folks. If we know to do and we don't do, are we bringing praise to God? It's sin. It's sin. And we tend to look at the one group, but there's also what we might call the righteous group. They're also not bringing praise to God. Because God has made us to bring praise to His name, and yet we are not doing that. oh, we're not doing those things that are wrong. We're not dive down into depths of sin like we talk about. We're not doing drugs. We're not smoking cigarettes, and we're not drinking alcohol, and we're not, who knows, all the things we can name tonight. We're not doing that. But what are we doing? What are we doing? You see, God looks at and sees a different perspective. God sees a person who has this ability to do, and God's created us as a special, unique individual, and yet we're not fulfilling that. We're not doing anything wrong. We're just not doing anything. Do you know what a junkyard is? What's a junkyard? What do we normally keep at a junkyard when we use the term junkyard? Alrighty. Old cars that are just either crashed, wore out, they're dead. Okay? Car graveyard. Many years ago, I was, I suppose it's still there, I drove by one up to east here a little ways. I drove by and looked in there, and there must have been 50 Model A's in there. I thought, boy, if there's some collectors around, they see all those, they're going to be snatching them up. But I want to ask you a question. You can have, and I saw one today, you can have a great big limousine Cadillac. I mean, this thing, I thought to myself, if he pulled through McDonald's, he'd have to order a whole lot of Happy Meals. And this thing, really, it was as long as from here to the back of the church. And I'm looking at this big monstrosity of a car, and I'm thinking, who in the world is, you know, wealthy enough to own that? You know, somebody. And here's this big, long luxury car. But let me ask you this question. How far will that car get you without any gas? It'll get you just as far as the junkyard car. Nowhere. You see, God has created us what? To bring praise unto His name. And a lot of times we as Christians, we say, well, I'm bringing praise to His name because I'm not doing this, not doing this, and not doing this, and not doing this. But what are we doing? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's what? Sin. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, we find, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. We love that verse. Amen. Not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. You and I, we get saved by the grace of God when we believe Him. Now listen what it says in verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Christ didn't save us just to not do sin. God saved us to do His work. Amen? God saved us for a purpose. God saved us to bring glory to His name. You can go to school and you can say, boy, I'm not doing anything wrong at school. I'm studying my lessons. I'm minding my own business. I'm not getting involved with the things other kids are getting involved with. And I'm being good. Listen, I'm a good individual. Listen, what's the difference between you, because you're not doing anything for God, than the Christian who is there who is doing some of those things? Who's bringing praise to God? It must be unto workmanship. If we're going to bring praise to God, it must mean that we are doing something. Tonight we sang. I love the songs that we can sing around here. Do you like singing? And we got some beautiful songs. I love the old, sometimes we call it the Baptist hymnal, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't know how many hundreds of times I've sang that in church and even sang it to myself or to the Lord. And how wonderful it is. And we can have these songs, but if we're not expressing it, are we bringing praise to God? Are we bringing praise to God? I sat up here, and one of the neat things to watch is in a service, you watch and you see people, and boy, I see expressions on faces. Some people, my goodness, they look like angels. They're singing and they got an expression on their face like this. You know, I mean, they're bringing glory to God and it's blessing their heart. It's exciting to see. And once in a while, you know, a few of you want to get just a little Pentecostal, you know, and whatever you want to call it. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's some feelings that can be there as we're expressing to God. You ever thought about that song? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Wow. But what if we don't express it? Does it bring glory to God? Is it bringing glory to God if we live a pure life before our neighbors but never tell them why? They see us as moral and upstanding and good and wholesome. They like us for neighbors, but they have no idea why. Is it bringing glory to God? I mean, think about it. What's the difference between us as God's people who don't express those things, don't do those things, and the person who's in the depths of sin when it comes to the matter of bringing glory and praise to God? By the way, I'm not excusing people who are in the depths of sin. What I'm saying is we ought not be pointing the condemning finger when we're not bringing glory to God. Amen? Because that's what God saved us for. Back in our text, what's it say there? Well, I lost my text. In verse number 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has made us different for a purpose. God's made you different that you might show forth His praises. How's that going to be? How could that be? What's your name?
Hannah?
I like the name Hannah. That's a Bible name. Do you know that? Is that why your mom named you that?
Yeah.
Is it? You know, God could use you in ways He never used her. Do you know that? And you know something, Hannah?
Yeah.
God wants to. Feel that in. You got to first know Him as your Savior. That I don't know. Because that's part of that thing. And God wants to use you. I've seen this guy for a number of weeks. What's your name?
Chris.
God's made Chris different than anybody else. But He's done that for a reason. And God wants to use you. Right now I'm thinking of a guy that we support as a missionary. I don't know why he comes to my mind, but I'm thinking, Chris could be a guy who goes down to Peru and goes out into the jungles where people have never ever heard the gospel before. That's where Brother Dover's at. You look at Brother Dover and you say, that's what he's doing? He don't look like one of those kind of guys. He looks rather normal, really. But God is using him because that's how God made him. God's done that for each of you guys. Every adult in here. And by the way, it doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter how young we are. God has made us for a purpose. Amen? We sometimes lose track of that. And that's to bring praise to His name. And if we're not doing that, we're kind of like the Cadillac sitting alongside the road because it's run out of gas. It's not getting its cargo there. It's not going to be able to deliver the goods any better than the ones in the junkyard. So we need to get in touch with God and have that relationship with Him and bring that glory to His name. Amen? Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much this evening for this time. Lord, I look here tonight and I think of the tremendous potential in every life, young and old alike. Lord, the possibilities, yea, this week, the number of people we could actually touch with the gospel. It's staggering. Lord, we withhold. And we pull back and we don't allow it. God, forgive us. God, help us to see that though we are maybe different than everybody else, You've made us that way for a reason. Because there are people who will respond to us that won't respond to anybody else. Work in and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.